Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whit.
And we're on this journey. We are putting together this tournament, fantasy booking. If you've listened, we recently did the NWA/WCW bracket. We took 32 names to narrow it down to 16. This is our second bracket we're going to do. This is the miscellaneous bracket. So this bracket includes people from Japan. It includes people from ECW. There's some TNA guys in here. Also, go ahead and tell you, somebody like... it's got some world-class guys. Ricky Steamboat's in this bracket because we didn't know where to put him.
Well,
is he in the NWA or WWE?
Right. I mean, you know, he held the NWA title, but he also had that great WrestleMania match. So we thought, hey, let's make sure he's in here.
Right.
But let's plug him in with these guys because he kind of traveled around a little bit.
And again, I'm excited for this one. There's some guys – I mean, these are – a lot of these are matches we've never seen before.
True.
Some of them are matches we've seen.
Yeah. One of them I know.
Right. So I'm anxious to get into this. Again, we've got 32 wrestlers drawn at random. These matches are random.
Yeah.
And we're booking a winner. We're trying to get to 64. This is just an elimination round.
Right.
We've done NWA. This is miscellaneous. We will do a WWE bracket, and then we'll do a bracket of current wrestlers. Mark, what's that first match we've got?
Mitsuhiro Misawa versus Steve Williams. Which is probably happened.
Yeah.
I think.
I would almost guarantee that it happened. I need to look that up.
Yeah. Typically, the Japanese guys have gone over.
Yeah.
Not always. I mean,
right.
You know, not always. But too, especially with Mitsuru Misawa, who is, for everybody that kind of follows Japanese wrestling, is kind of considered about the best of all time.
Right.
Really, of that strong style. And
I would say, I mean, as we've been doing this show, I was not familiar with him at all.
Uh-huh.
But I would just, I mean, he, to me, he is a measuring stick. I've tried to go back and watch a lot of his stuff that's available on YouTube and Daily Motion. And just no holes in his work, man. Just so good.
And legitimately died in the ring.
Yeah. So what you thinking?
Oh, that's Misawa.
Misawa.
I don't know that you, I mean, I love Steve Williams, but.
Yeah. And that's a heck of a match.
No doubt, that's going to be a good one.
I mean, that's the one the tape traders are talking about. Here's a match.
Huh.
Nick Bockwinkel.
There were two more contrasting styles.
Yes.
That maybe not we won't see in the tournament.
But. Nick Bockwinkel versus Taz.
Yeah.
Sir Robert of Eaton.
I don't even know where to start with that. I mean.
Yeah.
Both guys primarily had their biggest success in one promotion.
Yeah.
Both guys were on top,
right,
of that promotion.
Right.
Bockwinkel probably drew a little more money. I don't think there's a probably about it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
More money. His promos incredible. Taz's promos are
right.
Great too. Taz's in-ring stuff's good. Bockwinkel's in-ring stuff's good. To me, I got to give the nod to Bockwinkel.
That's what I. Yeah, I'm with you.
But that's just me.
Again, we're looking. To me, the tournament we're trying to book, we're trying to get these 64.
Yeah.
From 1983 to now, we want the top 64.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, if somebody wanted to sit down and make an argument for Taz being in that conversation, I would certainly listen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Taz, the random draw, we could draw this 10 times and Taz may get somebody, and he's getting through the second round.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys on here. Had he faced them,
yeah.
I would have advanced him.
Yeah.
But unfortunately against Nick Bockwinkle, that ain't going to happen. The next one, actually the next two or three, most of them are fairly easy.
Right. The next one is Bruiser Brody and Mike Awesome. Brody, question. Let's just be honest. Mike Awesome's here because we needed 128 names.
No, he's here because he was good.
But
he wasn't great.
But what I'm saying is, we started out trying to get 64 names.
Right.
And Mike Awesome wasn't on that 64.
True, but he had been the ECW champion.
No, right. Yeah.
So we included him. But yeah. I mean, the Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's not.
Chris Adams and Stan Hansen.
To me, that's another easy one. Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen's going over. If we were doing a second round, we got Brody and Stan Hansen looking at each other. Yeah. Fortunately for them, they're going into a random draw.
And there again, just as the way it was drawn, if I'd have had Mike Awesome versus Chris Adams, or Taz versus Chris Adams, or Mike Awesome versus Taz, who knows?
Right,
what happened?
Could have been it. Yeah.
Luck of the draw, same here for me, Larry Zbysko and Jerry Lawler.
Right.
Larry Zbysko basically has the one big match with Bruno.
Yeah.
That is his big thing that he hangs his hat on. Not taking that away from him, but Jerry Lawler is just such a legend.
If you have not seen the Jerry Lawler DVD, I finally got around to watching the main story of that. And dude was just money.
Yeah.
Just money. So can I tell a story real quick? When we met Lance Russell, and if you listen to the show every week, Lance Russell does our intro.
Uh-huh.
That's not off of tape. That is, I asked, Mr. Russell, will you do your intro for our podcast? Oh, yeah, I'd be. But when I went to talk to him, I did an interview with him, and I said he was with Mid-South. And I realized what got me confused is in Memphis, they wrestled in the Mid-South Coliseum.
Right.
And I'm just trying to show that I'm not an idiot. All right.
Kenta Kobashi versus Terry Gordy.
You've probably seen this match.
But you have to go with Kobashi.
Because
they were going to make a big run with Terry Gordy, and he screwed that up.
Right.
With his behaviors and stuff like that, not showing up. So they had to call Stan Hansen basically to come in and fill his slot a couple of times. So for me, that's easy. Plus, Kobashi along with Misawa is always high on everybody's list of greatest. So Kobashi is.
And we want this final 64 to be
the elite.
The elite. And as much as we both love and respect Terry Gordy, he's just not in that final 64.
No.
Again,
luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
If it had been Terry Gordy versus a lot of people.
Yeah. Terry Gordy and Rick Martel.
Yeah.
Terry Gordy and Sandman.
Way to spoil who's coming up on the thing.
Oh, sorry. I can't say his name.
Mil Mascaras versus Antonio Inoki. To me, it's another no-brainer.
All right.
Inoki.
Yes. Inoki.
I mean, he's a box office draw. He drew television ratings.
Yeah. As did Mascaras, but
not on the level of
Antonio
Inoki. I mean, come on. This match is intriguing to me.
Yes, it is.
Ricky Steamboat and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yes.
Because I could hear the... I know who I tend to favor.
Uh-huh.
In the match.
Yeah.
And that would be Steamboat.
Yes.
Because he has been the NWA champion.
Yes.
I'm looking at the elite here, making sure that I got good matchups. I mean, Bam Bam said it himself, the highest paid job guy in the business. He didn't mind.
Right.
As long as the money was there, he'd put somebody over.
Yeah.
So to me, it's Steamboat all day, but I can listen to an argument for Bam Bam if you got one.
Well, no, you're not going to get an argument for me. I'm Steamboat all the way. Again, no, it's nothing against Bam Bam Bigelow. Again, luck of the draw. It really is luck of the draw.
I think most of these are. I'll be honest with you. I think we're fixing to do a run on your side too, of who's going.
Yes. I mean, oh yeah.
Just looking at it, I mean.
Yeah.
The first match we got up is the Great Muta versus Tommy Dreamer. And to me, that's Muta, and it's not even a...
Yeah, I mean... And again, I don't, listen, we like the discussion, but don't even, I love Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
Don't even text us like, oh, Tommy Dreamer will definitely win that match. Not if I'm, I got the pin. We said it on the last episode.
Yeah.
You know who makes the decision? It ain't about who deserves it.
No.
It's about who's got the pin.
And who's going to have the better matches. And I just think Muda's going to have better matches.
Right, right.
With some of the opponents that I see on the board.
Gino Hernandez and Kerry Von Erich, again.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, Kerry Von Erich's a bigger star. I mean, more people know who he is, but.
I mean, Gino Hernandez, his career and life cut short, and no one takes away how great he was, but Kerry Von Erich was a world heavyweight champion.
And he was an intercontinental champion, and I mean, he more was people know who he is.
He was a world champion with one foot. I mean, I'm not saying that to make fun. I'm saying that's how good of an athlete he was.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Angle and Bully Ray.
Yeah, that's Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle, Bully Ray. Spoiler alert: look for him around Royal Rumble time. Terry Funk and Dynamite Kid.
I mean, as good as Dynamite Kid was, come on. I mean, it's Terry Funk.
Yes.
NWA champion. I mean, help put ECW on the map.
How? All right. We haven't done this that much with this this bracket because I think this is the miscellaneous bracket. So this is kind of the hodgepodge. The NWA bracket, we had a lot more of close calls in matches, a lot more debate. Some of this is not debatable. How would you book a match between, you know, in his 30s, 40s, Terry Funk versus a Dynamite Kid?
Oh, I mean, I have them both do what they do well. I mean, I have Terry Funk trying to brawl and Dynamite Kid trying to have a scientific high-flying match and watch the contrast of style.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have Dynamite Kid hitting incredible spots and moves on Terry Funk. Terry Funk cheating and gouging him his eyes and hitting him with a branding iron and shutting all that down.
Yeah, yeah. And again, Dory Funk is not in this tournament. We're looking 83 and on. And I think, you know, for us, Terry Funk was still had a great feud with Ric Flair, great run in ECW, great, you know. So we didn't mention that at the beginning. This is 83. This is not all time. This is just in our era. Next match, Sabu and Rick Martel.
I got to go with Rick Martel. I'm a huge Sabu mark.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Rick Martel's a former world champion. He had some high-profile matches in the WWF as part of a tag team and then as a singles competitor. I just think, I mean, and I like Sabu.
Yeah.
But Sabu never wanted to work big time. And his style was reckless. It's cost him. He just had a hip replacement.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, for me, I got to go Rick Martel because I got to keep it elite.
I, you know, far be it from me to argue against Rick Martel. I do, you know, when I think about the elite, and we're trying to get to that final 64. If you and I are just sitting down and we're making a list.
Which is how we come up with this.
Right. This is how we came up with ideas, trying to come up with list. Sabu's not on my list of 64.
Right.
Rick Martel would be borderline.
He would not be on my list of 64.
But, again, luck of the draw, I'm absolutely with you about Martel. To me, Sabu... what did he do outside? Okay, and again, who of all the ECW guys?
Mm-hmm.
Who of the, which of them? And I'm asking the question. I don't know the answer. Which of them did anything outside of ECW on that level? Maybe Bam. But Bam Bam, I don't consider him an ECW guy.
No, because I mean he. He was with, I mean, you got RVD.
RVD. But, like, you talk about Sandman, Sabu, Taz, Shane Douglas. I mean, that core group of guys, they were, you know, that 4 or 5 year run And yeah, that's, you know.
That's it.
Speaking of ECW, our next match, Shane Douglas and Sandman.
Here's my thing.
Yeah?
I think Shane Douglas, I think J.J. Dillon and a couple other people said it, always got paid on his potential.
Yeah.
And I think he's a great heel.
Yeah.
And he could probably have better matches.
Right.
With all these guys.
Yeah.
But dang it, I'd like to see a cane swinging, beer drinking, smoking freak that is the Sandman. I'd love to see him have to get in a ring with Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
Or Bruiser Brody. Because I got so many great workers, and the Sandman's not a great worker. That was
right.
his gimmick. Or he's not a great technical wrestler. I mean, he's a great worker because he made a lot of money smoking cigarettes and drinking beer, which is what he would like to do anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that probably makes him a good worker. When you think about ECW, you tend to Sandman seems to be one of those guys that you think about, along with Shane Douglas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I vote Sandman just because I want to see him have a good, cool matchup with. I want to see how he matches up with Kenta Kobashi. I want to see how he matches up with a Ric Flair. I want to see that match because this. How do they work with him? How does he handle a guy like Bruiser Brody?
Right. In my mind, I'm trying to talk myself into that. But then I go back to the argument we've used before that we're talking about the Elite.
Okay.
And so on that, everything you just said, I 100% agree with it. If we're talking about Elite, is either one, I mean, again, it's the same thing as Sabu and Rick Martel.
Yeah.
Shane Douglas, I could make a case for being in the Elite because he was there. He put what he did put ECW on the map.
Okay, you just convinced me.
But
because had it not been for him doing that,
there is no ECW.
There is no ECW. You're right. So
and let's just stop right there. Now let's talk about what would happen with the NWA if he'd have been.
So yeah, I think you're right, Shane Douglas.
But I agree with you. But here's the thing. Okay. For these purposes. We're just throwing the names these guys are winning. We're just throwing their names in a hat.
Right.
So we might get Sandman in a terrible matchup. We're not going to get Shane Douglas in a terrible matchup.
You convinced me. Okay. You don't have to keep. I said you were right. You convinced me. Put Shane Douglas up there and let's move on.
That's the only time Mark's going to put Shane Douglas over. All right.
I got a picture of me at home. I love Shane Douglas.
Yeah, I know.
And I think he's one of the best. Villains of the 90s, I told him.
He really was.
You won't find anybody that generated hardly any more heat than when he shook Gary Wolf by the halo. When he had his neck fused and whatever, you won't find something. They sent Shane out with guys in riot gear.
Yeah.
This guy was getting heat.
And Gary Wolf is still selling that as a shoot.
Yeah.
To his credit. We had these names and we drew them out, but we ended up with a lot of ECW matchups. RVD and Justin Credible.
To me, that's RVD. I mean, more people know who he is. And the next one's a fairly easy one, too, for me.
Okay.
That's Jeff Jarrett and Raven. Raven is far and away better than Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett's another guy that I think always got paid on potential.
Yeah. Well, he got paid. All right. So Jeff Jarrett. I remember in the 80s, you know, getting the wrestling magazines, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and you're just always hearing about Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get older and you realize, and you're like, man, who's Jeff Jarrett? Never heard of him. And then you realize, oh, his dad's the promoter sending in the stories.
Right, yeah.
And again, you go back to TNA and, his dad, you know, his dad's the deal, and he's the champ, and
yeah. But when his daddy wasn't promoting,
right?
But Steve Austin, like, notoriously wouldn't work with it.
Really?
Yeah. When he was getting on a roll as the Intercontinental Champion, when he became Stone Cold, they wanted him to do a program with Jeff Jarrett, and he said no, we're gonna draw no money.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's funny. I definitely go with Raven. Raven, one of the great characters. I just you let me have or let me borrow the Raven Kevin Sullivan shoot interview. I check. I go back and watch. Raven's a great character. So who are the 16, Mark, making it from the miscellaneous bracket?
Mitsuhiro Misawa, Nick Bockwinkel, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, Jerry Lawler, Kenta Kobashi, Antonio Inoki, Ricky Steamboat, The Great Muta, Kerry Von Erich, Kurt Angle, Terry Funk, Rick Martel, The Franchise, Shane Douglas, Rob Van Dam, and Raven.
That's a, you know, that's a good looking bracket for the 64, I think.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
That's, I'm thinking about some of these, you know, matchups.
Oh, you know what I wish had happened, though? What? And this is the downside of the... I wish that we had, like, Steve Williams versus the Sandman.
And, right.
And Larry Zbysko versus Rick Martel. You know what I mean? Because I think it would have been a vastly different...
Right.
I mean, I had to make a decision between Kenta Kobashi and Terry Gordy, whereas if it had been Kenta Kobashi versus Justin Credible and Terry Gordy versus Jeff Jarrett, now they would have both been in our...
Right.
But it's
right.
not the way it happened.
And that's why we did it by luck of the draw to put us in these situations where we were going to have to make some tough decisions.
Right, because what you would actually do if you were a promoter
was
you would put... Larry Zbysko versus Jeff Jarrett. And you would put Justin Credible versus Terry Gordy, and you put Kenta Kobashi versus whoever. Even Mil Máscaras, you know, Gino Hernandez, you would put those guys into matches so they could win the first round.
Right, right.
We didn't do that.
No. And when we get to our 64, again, we're gonna book the entire tournament, but we're just getting to that 64. The first round is going to be random draw.
Yeah.
Or are we going to seed them? What did we decide?
I don't know if we're going to seed them or not. I mean, really, we hadn't worked this thing out. If we were just, I think we would have to create four different brackets.
Yeah.
With certain, you know, and work towards two guys facing each other.
Right. No. Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know it or not. That's how a tournament works. But what I mean is, rather than have, you know, 32 guys on this side, 32 guys on that side, it's broken down into four different categories. So you have four different champions who will then face each other.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think what we'll do, what would be awesome, is when we get to the final four, we create a one-night tournament that's those three matches, and then we just throw some random matches.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah.
What are some other matches from the 64? Who are some other guys?
Or what if it was the final 16? So then you're gonna have your match, but then out of those final 16, we'll create a fantasy card.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
What if? All right. Hear me out on this. We rent out a veterans hall in Reseda. All right. I know. Just hold on. Do a three-night tournament. Okay. Guys from all over the world. Battle of Los Angeles.
Call it the Battle of Los Angeles.
And we'll just call it BOLA.
Yeah, for sure. We'll call it BOLA. That's a good idea.
Tickets will sell out. It'll be great.
You know what the real Battle of Los Angeles is?
A movie?
No.
What?
Well, the movie is based on the real. There's a lot of people that believe there was a battle fought against alien invaders over Los Angeles like years and years and years ago. And that's what the real Battle of Los Angeles is.
Huh?
Yeah. Google it, man. Google the real Battle of Los Angeles, and you'll read a story about the military engaging an alien fleet over Los Angeles.
Did you hear about the guy from Britain? Like one of their defense guys talking about aliens and talking about how there's different. I mean,
it was in the Podesta emails.
Oh.
It's there.
Hmm. Whew. Whew. How do you know Donald Trump's not an alien?
I don't, to be honest with you. He looks like a Cheeto, but.
Does he look like a Cheeto?
He's got that orange. It looks like he's been eating Cheetos and scratching his face.
reminds me of a joke about Cheetos that I can't tell on this show.
Yeah, I don't do anything but look
around. So, hey, if you're listening to this, this is just bracket number two. We've still got the WWE bracket and the current bracket to go. You can go back. There's a link in the show notes to a picture of the bracket that we had here, but also there's a link to the episode where we talk about NWA, WCW. DoubleDropKick.com is where you can find all of that. It's where you can listen to episodes. It's where you can click on a banner and support the show. There's a Dollar Shave Club right there. Listen, first month free, and just click on that banner. I use Dollar Shave Club, and I remember waking up one morning, getting ready for church, needed to shave, didn't have any razors. And thanks to Dollar Shave Club, I've always got razors. I'm always prepared. I ain't got to go. And I'm not paying. I feel like I'm Steve Austin doing this pitch. Anyway, if you're a man, Dollar Shave Club. And now my whole family. I bought it. My whole family uses Dollar Shave Club. Huh. Except for my son. He'll be there eventually. We want you to go on Facebook. Like our Double Dropkick Show page. We have a Facebook group. The Wrestling You Grew Up With. Where we just talk about wrestling. Just talk. We're also on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
And if you've got questions, if you want to comment on this tournament, on this bracket, we would love to hear your thoughts. I'm excited excited to get back into that. Pull back the curtain a little bit. Life's been crazy. Life's been hectic. Mark's work schedule's been crazy. We're still working.
The holidays are coming up.
Right.
So if you go a week or two without hearing the show, just understand we'll be back in January.
Yeah.
And that is when we're going to start talking about the 605 show.
Yes.
Because I'm going to try to watch two episodes. We record every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So that when I get here, I can talk about those two episodes, and we'll do one episode.
That's
in January.
So. Right. And so that'll make sense because we'll pick up January of 2017. We'll be talking January of 1988.
Yeah.
So that might be the thing to do is we just go month by month.
That's what I just said.
Is that what you
that
just
said? That is just what I just said.
Well, anyway, that's what
we record
said.
Every 2 weeks. We'll watch two episodes.
No. What I mean is when we okay, we're saying the same thing different ways.
Yeah.
Half a dozen, six of another. Is that what I just said? All right, anyway.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
So we got some, and we got actual wrestling we're doing. December 3rd, Country Santa Clash 4, featuring Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff. $40 gets you a VIP. You get your picture made with them, get an autograph, get to meet me and Mark. And
Magnum and Nikita.
And Magnum, and Magnum and Nikita. That's going to be a great show. Make sure you check out 3 Count Pro Wrestling on Facebook or go to 3countpro.com. Anyway, thanks for listening. Make sure you download and subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio app, everywhere you can listen to a podcast. We need 5-star ratings and reviews. We get graded on those. And
I like the idea that, and I'm just going to steal it, maybe giving something away. If people will rate us and review us and then take a screenshot of it and send it to us,
yeah,
then maybe we can look at doing a giveaway.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll come up with something nice, you know. If you're a patron on Patreon, you don't have to do that. You'll automatically be entered in. Any drawing we do from now on, if you're a patron on Patreon, you'll be part of that draw.
You'll be entered. Entered.
You don't have to do anything
except what you already do.
Yep,
and that's support the show. So anyway, I'm looking at this great bracket. I'm getting ready to go home and take care of some business. Mark's getting ready to go home and rest for a little bit. We don't know what you're doing now, but we hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Double Dropkick Show. As always, I'm Heath Mulliken,
and I'm Mark Whitman.
And I've got gas.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.